Welcome back. This is Lake Effect from WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. Before the break, we heard from Milwaukee Magazine's senior editor, Dan Simmons, about the article he co-authored on Dr. James Sanger. Sanger is the chief of plastic surgery at Zablocki VA Medical Center and a professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
He is also the surgeon on call whenever one of the Milwaukee County Zoo's bonobos hurts one of their hands. We asked Dr. Sanger if he'd be willing to chat with us about his other job, and he began by telling Lake Effect's Mayon Silver where his interest in animals first came from.
I think when I was growing up, I was an outdoors person. I love wildlife, and I think I had always been observant of animals and plants. So I went to college thinking I would be a biology teacher, and I majored in zoology, the study of the animal kingdom, and I have never lost the fascination with the variety of life.
So obviously you went into medicine and you became an orthopedic hand surgeon.
Actually a plastic surgery hand surgeon.
Plastic surgery hand surgeon at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
Correct.
How did that sort of work prepare you for working with animals and working with apes?
So in general, primates all have the same hand structure. And in humans, there are certain things that are particularly relevant if you have infections or injury. And we have some expertise that at times the zoo can rely on, and we were involved from the beginning with infections and other trauma. The vets at the zoo, Dr. Wallace and Dr. Clyde, care for 99% of every problem. So they don't need us for any other type of wound or problem. The hand infections can be quite severe because of the anatomy of the hand. So if you sustain a bite to your hand or foot, and it penetrates deeply, it's a very bad situation for infections. And infections in this area can spread quickly and destroy the function of the hand. And at times, if it's not drained, it can spread into the bloodstream and an animal could die. So we treat that in a similar fashion in humans and do the same for the primates.
Is it almost more dangerous for primates than it is for humans, or is it the sort of the same level of difficulty if you get infections?
I think primates, meaning the apes and monkeys, probably do better with infections than we do. But the goal is to drain it before it can cause damage. I think most of our experience is with the bonobos, and it relates to bite wounds.
So the bonobos are found in forests south of the Congo River in the Democratic Republic of Congo. But the Milwaukee County Zoo actually has the largest captive community of bonobos with some 22 bonobos. So are there special characteristics of bonobos that you've noticed? And what have you learned about bonobos after working with them?
I think the bonobos are extraordinarily close to us in the way they use their hands. Their thumbs are slightly smaller, and they don't oppose it or bring it over quite like we do. But they manipulate fine objects. They use tools. They're very close to us in terms of the behavior. And their feet are much more mobile and almost more like a hand than a foot like we would have.
I've heard that they share 98.7% of our human DNA. So what sort of things have you noticed when you look and interact with them?
Well, when I get to observe them, they're very social animals, and they have a family structure. They have a troop structure. They have head people. You know, they have the goof-offs. They have the serious. They clearly have a structure that humans can relate to in their social life.
So what's a typical situation that you're called in to come in to the zoo and you walk in, and what happens next?
Well, the way it usually works is the people that know the animals best are the keepers, and they will notice something is not right. Often these injuries are not observed and they occur very quickly, and they will alert the veterinarian and they'll check out the animal. And then if they think it's a hand infection, then I might get a call. Some they treat themselves. So usually they are guarding. They're not doing something they usually do, and they're protecting the hand, which is a sign of injury.
It's not natural for them to cooperate with treatment, right?
It's the exact opposite. In the wild, if an animal is injured, they will hide totally, or you will hide that injured part, because in the wild that might mean they're now a target for a predator. So the bond that develops between the keeper and the animal allows them to coax that animal to show us the injured part. And this is a very phenomenal bond. It's just not something that happens. It's from the interaction daily and the care they give these animals.
So what's an example of a time that you've come in and the keeper is trying to help an injured bonobo and you have to engage with them to try to treat them?
So when we first enter the area, the animals are always caged, and I am not getting in a cage with an animal. You know, they're potentially very dangerous. They have very sharp teeth and they're very fast. So the keeper will generally approach the cage and will begin to talk to the animal, to gesture, and give him small treats like grapes or fruit. And the animal then begins to relax. And the animal is not watching me. It's really watching the keeper, because that's where the trust is. So then after they do this for a while, when the keeper says it's ready, then I move a little closer. They sit me on a little thing. Then a few minutes later, I get closer. And by that time, often they, through gestures and speaking and the little treats, the animal will now show the injured hand, and we can make a decision as to what needs to be done. It was an event where we had one animal and we would have to go visit it. And every time I would come in, the animal would be coaxed with some grapes or treats and would show me the left hand. And I didn't realize this, but the keepers were laughing, because when I would come in, some of the other animals nearby would raise their left hand thinking, well, maybe I'll get a little treat too. One time I came back a few months later to just briefly look at an animal, and a couple of the animals raised their left hand. So they have tremendous memories and they don't miss much. You know, so I've learned how sharp the bonobos are.
And what are other characteristics of the bonobos that you've picked up on or learned from this experience?
Well, mostly when I get to talk with the keepers or the vets, you know, they'll say, like, well, so-and-so is having a feud. You know, these two are having a spat, and these two are new buddies. And they hang out, and they have mannerisms that make us really relate to them. So once I'm told that, I can see it. And they have this camaraderie and this interaction, and it's a true family or troop. They wrote an article about Kitty, the elderly female matriarch. So bonobos have a society run by women, and she was the head woman. And I went to examine her, and at the time, the keeper was a good friend of mine and also known for practical jokes. And I began to approach the cage, and two males jumped up on either side of this woman and gestured kind of defiantly at me. So she told me to stop. Then later, after the males had gotten down and relaxed and I was allowed to examine the animal, she told me that this is the sign that I shouldn't come any closer. And if I'd come any closer, their response is to urinate on you as a warning. So I was happy that she did not play the practical joke.
How do you usually treat the injured ape or bonobo?
So if we need to do surgery, it's to drain the infection and clean it out. So in those cases, the keepers and the veterinarians will sedate the animal initially and then give them an anesthetic. The zoo has a beautiful hospital right on the grounds. They have excellent staff and equipment, and they have a nice operating room. So it's done surgically just like we would. And once they're asleep, you know, we drain the infection, clean it up, and then we examine the animal the next day, you know, through the cage. So the goal is to do everything in one operation, because there's a risk every time you put an animal to sleep, and the goal is as little of that as possible.
Is the treatment generally non-surgical instead of surgical?
Many of the things that I initially saw over there, we decided to watch. And simple wounds around the torso or the body, some of the finger bites to the end of the finger where there was no infection, where in a human you would want to close that wound because it wouldn't heal. These animals have much greater healing power. So we've learned kind of not what to operate on. And it's kind of, I'm working myself out of a job, because now the vets and the keepers take care of 90% of that. So, but that's good.
Is there a difference with dealing with the aftermath of a treatment or a surgery with apes as opposed to humans?
Absolutely. So when I first started doing this, I would go over there to kind of consult with them, and I'd say, well, this is what's possible. And I would say what we would do maybe if this was a human. And then sometimes they'd just laugh because in a human, of course, we can order therapy. We can have a cooperative patient. But all bets are off for animals. And so if you do certain types of procedures, like one time we had to fix some fractures on an orangutan, then you must immobilize both their hands either behind their back or around their side so that they cannot get free to tear the cast off. And you can't have a cast that they can reach with those big incisors because they'll take it off. So the dictum is, you know, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And so you can't expect them to have therapy, nor can you expect the zoo to take the chance on putting the animals to sleep repeatedly because there's a risk for their health. So I think what very quickly came out of this is that, you know, I can say whatever I want, then they tell me what's real, and that's what is done. So the care and the ultimate responsibility is, you know, done by the zoo, and they have outstanding veterinarians and keepers. So I think I've learned a great deal by just listening to them.
Have you learned anything about the social after effects of treatment for apes?
Yes, they are careful to reintroduce animals because if an animal has been injured and then is taken out of the social situation for a while, his spot in the pecking order may have been changed, and you can have fights or things that can be serious in some animals. I think the recent example was the gorilla that was injured, and we ended up not operating on him because they thought if we did and took this animal out that he would be challenged by his brother, who was the number two. And you can imagine two great apes fighting. That could be very dangerous. And that animal had a partial injury, and we were fortunate it recovered. But that was another one of those things where the zoo took into account the social aspects of the animal, the general health, and then the hand. And the decision there was the right one. You know, they made the decision not to operate.
And specifically when you do operate, the saliva of the apes can be healing?
Most animals, like dogs and wild primates, do have antibodies and other things in their saliva that may be beneficial, whereas humans, that's not such a good idea usually. So, yes, I think they do much better overall, and that's part of it. Part of it, they just have better regenerative powers, and they can heal things that we probably couldn't heal.
Any idea why humans have lost that capability?
It may be that over the years, because of our lifestyle changes and our ability to have less injuries, it's become less important. I don't know. This is beyond me.
Sure. Have you ever experienced a humorous situation with one of the apes? Or notice them sort of responding to an emotion or humor?
Well, they clown around. If you watch them, they goof off. And not in response to me, but I just go there and watch them sometimes. And, you know, they play tricks on each other. They're mischievous. It's just part of their growing up and social interaction. So, yes, I've seen that.
Has this work helped you understand the threats to bonobos in the wild or want to do anything about that?
Well, I'm in awe of the work that both the zoo and the Zoological Society does. For many years, Dr. Gay Edwards Reinartz has been involved in preservation of bonobo habitat. So the zoo participates in a couple of big programs. One is a collaboration with the other zoos in North America to specifically have a sustained colony of bonobos that reproduces. I think it's important that people realize that bonobos are not taken out of the wild and that the populations in our zoos are self-sustaining. And then the second part of the Zoological Society is the actual involvement in the preservation of the habitat in the Congo. So I think these people should be admired, and this has been going on for many, many years here. And I think we should all be proud of our zoo society and the zoo, because without habitat, there will be no bonobos.
And what are your plans with the zoo for the remainder of your opportunities to work there?
Well, anytime they want, they can call me. I'm close to retirement, and I do keep threatening the vets that one of these days I'll show up to shadow them.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sanger, for coming and speaking with us and for your work.
Thank you.
James Sanger is the chief of plastic surgery at the Zablocki VA Medical Center, and he's a professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin as well. He is also the hand surgeon on call for injured primates at the Milwaukee County Zoo. Sanger spoke with Lake Effect's Mayon Silver.